This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Kyle, they can see us now. They can see us now. It's over.
It's okay. We just got done doing two shows. What are you talking about? It's over. I'm getting ready to have my Cinnamon Toast Crunch now.
Oh, man. It's a sin.
Let me tell you, this is I'm already fired up and exhausted and need a cigarette and a shower and everything. That was it good for you, Steve?
Oh, you know what? I'm waiting for round two. I was so good for me. I need a cigarette, and I don't even smoke any longer.
Yeah.
Steve's used to false starts that finish early.
This is true. Hey, you know what? As long as I get across the line, I'm good, okay? I'm good.
Stop using your man powers, Shannon. Stop using your man powers.
I'm so man.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Welcome to the first official episode of Non Sequitur in the new year. We apologize, first of all, for the mix-up with the first show with Ned. It wound up working out because Red's had a schedule conflict and couldn't wind up making it. So we're going to bump it back to later this week so that Red's can make it and we can get Ned in here. And it'll all work out perfectly. But tonight we have what I think is going to be what has already been declared as the clash of the titans between the ultra feminist Shannon Q. Hello, Shannon Q.
Super manly ultra feminist Shannon Q.
And making his first appearance on the show, the other titan, Catfish Man. Hello, Catfish Man.
Hello. How's it going? What's up?
It's going well, man. Are you ready to go? You sound like you're ready to go.
Sure, I'm ready. I just want me have Shannon take it easy. Please take it easy on me. No,
I will. Me up.
By the way, I was just joking about using my. I just want to get this out there before I forget. I was just joking about using my catfish or my picture for a catfish. I don't want to get mixed up in the middle of anything like that. You know
mine.
What I mean? Like I don't want to break anybody's hearts.
Sure. You look handsome enough.
Yeah, take mine. Okay. You know what?
All right. You know what? I'm not even going to make any. I'm ready to see this. I'm not even going to make any announcements for what's coming up. You can look on the side of your screen and see what's the news and all that stuff. I'm going to now turn it over just briefly so that these guys can introduce themselves and let you know who they are and what they do. And then I have a question for Catfish Man to start us off, and then we'll jump right in. So, Shannon, why don't you go ahead and let everybody, if they don't already know, which I'm sure they do, but tell them who you are and what you do.
Hi, I'm Shannon Q. I have a YouTube channel called Shannon Q, and I am an atheist advocate, and I have a channel where I talk about the intersection of faith and psychology and endeavor to have productive dialogues and complex conversations. So yeah, you can go check me out there. And I also have Twitter. It's Shan with two N's underscore Q zero. And that's usually a dumpster fire generally, but if you're brave, follow me there, I guess.
You're home here.
Hi.
Welcome home. Yes. Welcome home.
This is my second home.
All right, Catfish Man, do you want to give everybody a brief introduction of who you are and how you came to be on this show?
Okay, so my name is Catfish Man. I basically make catfish videos where, you know, it's like catch a predator, but it's reversal on females. So I make those videos, and I was on worldstarhiphop.com on my video, and I just post them on incels. I'm technically not an incel, but I am. And, you know, that's pretty much it. I'm just Catfish Man, you know.
Okay. To start us out, I wanted to ask you how you thought Sarge did in his debate with Dr. Winters. They had a debate last week. For anybody that hasn't seen it yet, you can check that link out on our channel. But Sarge is he's the owner of the largest incel forum and community online at incels.is. And you're a part of that community, correct? Catfish Man?
Yeah, no, yeah. I've been in the party community for since 2017. So, I mean, I'm not new to it. I mean, I've been on the website for almost a year, but I've been part of the community for almost 2 years now.
And how do you think Sarge did in his debate against Dr. Winters?
He stuttered a lot. He was kind of nervous. I mean, he hit some pretty good points. You know, he could have hit it harder based off what he was talking about. But, you know, I thought I think he did pretty good. He held his own, you know, based off, you know, I don't know his situation, but, you know, he did pretty good on describing the blue pill, red pill, and black pill. So, I mean, he did like a 7 out of 10 job, 6 out of 10 job. So
I feel like most of life's advice boils down to you could have always hit it harder. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Catfish Man, where you can you wanted to start off with some either questions that you had for Shannon or a point that you wanted to make. But I'm going to hand the reins over to you and let you go wherever you'd like.
Okay. All right. So basically, Shannon, I have a question for you. Okay. So with feminism, how feminism today is with all this stuff, like, okay, feminism, and you're an atheist. I can, you know, I'm agnostic. I used to be, you know, a Christian and a Catholic. But with feminism, do you consider feminism based off Me Too, the Me Too movement, and with that, you know, other feminism, or how do you separate feminism versus, you know, the other feminism with, like, you know, Asia, whoever, who that girl who dated Harvey Weinstein, like, what type of feminism is there? I mean, to me, like, when I look at feminism, I see feminism based off a lot of things I see in the news, like, you know, with Me Too, with the, you know, with the divorce, like, you know, Canada's pretty much a feminist country, basically, with Toronto, and with all the, you know, France with, you know, anti-harassment laws. So how do you define feminism in a way? Because to me, I see feminism in a way they just try to downplay, you know, patriarchy. So can you tell me what feminism is there? Because to me, I see just a whole – I just see feminism as a third wave versus the first wave.
Okay.
So explain to me your take on feminism.
Okay, allow me a moment to repeat my understanding of that question back to make sure that I'm going to answer it correctly for you. So what I'm hearing you ask is, what do I perceive feminism as being myself in comparison to what maybe the current overall societal view of feminism is? Is that is that sort of the question? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good question. Thank you. You know, with, you know, Canada, like, do you understand, like, with Me Too, do you consider Me Too feminism? Is that part of feminism?
Okay. Well, that's a separate question. But I'll answer your first one, and then I'll answer that one. So the first question is, what is feminism to me, or the first part of the first question? And I see feminism as striving to ensure that women have equal rights and opportunities as men, and also that women have their own separate set of issues based on their roles in society. And female voices are very important in representing themselves when it comes to issues that pertain to females. So that's the way I perceive feminism, and that's the way I wear the label. I think feminism is perceived on in a multitude of different ways within society, depending on who you're talking to and what their perspective is. So for me to answer that question comparatively would be relatively difficult, because I would have to be assuming one of those perspectives by default in order to take a position. So if you'd like to give me one, I'd be happy to give you a comparison between the two, but it's difficult for me to do that just basing it on an arbitrary ether sort of societal definition, because that'll be different from person to person. Whether or not I see the Me Too movement as a part of feminism, yes, to a certain degree. I think that it has taken on multiple instantiations that may have some negative connotations, and we can talk about that in more detail if you would like. But I also think overall, women being more willing to and comfortable coming forth with their stories of sexual assault, sexual abuse, and sexual harassment is a good thing, if for no other reason than it brings forth societal awareness so that we can have these types of conversations, and also so that women feel as though they no longer have to hide or be ashamed of these things when they happen to them. So those are my answers. And if you have any follow-up questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yeah, I do. Okay, that's the case. All right, so I'm going to ask a question about you, how you view incels. But first, okay, if that's the case, okay, so what about, that's true. I totally understand. That's true. You know, as a man, I've experienced that too with, you know, sexual harassment in the workplace, getting fired, you know, based off false allegations, you know, how jobs are willing to take females' sides. I've been through that. That's fine. But the question Me Too is part of feminism. Okay, so question is if that's the case, what's that female's name? She was a leader of the Me Too that dated Harvey Weinstein.
I haven't the slightest inclination. I'm not.
Asia or Aja? Yeah, she was the part of, she was like a leader of the feminism. The thing is, you know, with all feminism, you know, I totally understand with, you know, rapes. But the thing is, okay, so if that's the case, why would someone like Aja, who's feminism, I mean, that's kind of misleading. Someone says, oh, I'm a feminist, I'm part of Me Too movement. Okay, so why is she, you know, she had a, you know, sexual thing with a 17-year-old boy. You know, somebody found that. And I find that kind of hypocritical. You know, yeah, I mean, that's kind of misleading. So, I mean, I feel like feminism has literally empowered females to take advantage of the situation of how, you know, about, you know, I mean, with lookism and, you know, just because of a guy does something or she doesn't like how he looks at her. Okay, for example, the female in Russia, she complained about man spreading. Okay, so pour bleach because a man had a man spread. Oh. You know, she's part of the feminist
nothing.
Movement.
Nothing gives her the right. But that was a hoax, though. That was proven to be a hoax.
Well, okay, I understand if it was a hoax, but I mean, if she's going to make a point, Okay, so you're saying if that's a hoax, then why is she, you know, lifting up her showing her underwear, showing, you know, freedom sexuality with women? I mean, feminism is it supporting degeneracy? Polyamory? Okay,
there's a lot to unpack there. So I know exactly what you're talking about. The woman in Russia who was pouring bleach on people, it was actually water, on men who were on the train who were taking up too much space. That was the whole thing was staged start to finish, from my understanding. So, but let's speak towards it as though it weren't staged. So in order to address your question, let's say for the sake of this argument that really did happen, that legitimately happened, and she was pouring bleach on men for taking up too much space. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. No one has the right to harm another person unless they feel as though they're physically threatened or in danger. No one has that right, no matter what the situation is. Now, if you feel as though feminism is empowering women to feel as though they have the right to injure other people, I would say that your view of what feminism is, at least from my perspective, the way I view feminism and the way I enact feminism in my life, are incongruent with each other. Perhaps you see that there's a different sort of sect, or there's a misrepresentation of what feminism might be in popular media or social media culture. But that she definitely, saying that it wasn't a hoax, has no right to harm anybody for that reason or any other reason. And as to her lifting up her underwear to whatever, if that's what she wants to do, then fine. I have no problem with that. Whatever. She should be able to.
But I know, I totally understand that, but that's the thing is, you know, she's giving examples of showing sexual freedom for females to do whatever. And that plays a part of inceldom with men.
Okay.
Patriarchal.
Let's go.
And matriarchal. And the thing is,
okay,
hold on. That's I understand how you come in with feminism, but you know, I mean, you gotta give feminism a separate label, how they are.
I do.
With that type of stuff, you know, to me, I see that, and in what you're saying, and it just doesn't add up. I mean, like, okay, so what is this? What is this type of feminism? I mean, yes, because of, you know, all that stuff. Me personally, I like, for example, I've been fired, right? Because I didn't do nothing at work, and I've been attacked by 5 females, which give them the right to, you know, accuse me. Because they didn't like me. You know, there's stories like that of men. And then, you know, I mean, and I'll give you some other stories. I mean, I feel, you know, I feel like men are losing in this society on dating and other things in the workplace. What's her name? That Cho female in California. She started accusing men about being like about incels. Saying, I feel like she's just targeting men who are single, who can't get in the relationship due to certain circumstances. Do you know what I mean?
Targeting them for what? I'm finding it difficult to discern. So let me make sure that I'm understanding you correctly so that we can continue this conversation in the accurate vein. So what I'm hearing you say is that you feel as though feminism in society has created a power differential that allows women to, I guess you might say, use their feminine wiles to manipulate men and or accuse men of sexual misconduct, because now sexual misconduct is taken seriously and because the system isn't set up in a fashion that makes it very clear how to discern these cases yet. People are erring on the side of caution, perhaps, or ignorance, and always trusting the female in this situation when they make the accusation, and men are at a detriment because of that. And I would agree that that wouldn't be fair. If people are making false accusations, everybody should have the benefit of the doubt. And also the second part of it, I didn't quite understand because I'm not familiar with the people that you're referencing. But did I adequately and succinctly summarize the first part of what I think you were trying to say there?
Yeah. Okay. Alan. Okay. What's her name? Powell. Or Alan Powell. She started a cute. Okay. She doesn't like incels. You know, I know who she is. Ellen Powell. She's an Asian. She's in California. And she started calling out companies, tech companies, saying, I know you have incels. I want you to get these people fired. I mean, I know her situation. I know how she is. She dealt with sexist. Okay. Okay. So basically, you know, let's say if a man who's single for a while is considered an incel. I mean, why that's what I'm saying with this, all this feminist mentality. You know, like how your feminist mentality, I mean, dealing with feminism with, you know.
So she was calling tech companies. I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. So
Twitter, calling them out on Twitter saying.
And saying that they employed incels. So, and the tech companies were with impunity simply firing people just for being involuntarily celibate. Just for having the accusation leveled against him. So what you're saying is that she on Twitter was tagging tech companies and saying that they employed involuntarily celibate people. And based on solely that accusation, they lost their jobs right away. Based just on that. That was the only reason.
No, they haven't lost their jobs, but she's trying to force people to lose their jobs.
Oh, so she's targeting people. So people haven't lost their jobs, but she's targeting people.
Yeah, and she's a feminist too. She's also a feminist.
So she's targeting people that she knows are involuntarily celibate. How does she discover that these people are involuntarily celibate?
She's just saying who's ever incel, what type of people are incels. You know, that's, I'm just saying, I'm not saying who she knows, but I'm just saying, you know, like that type, you know, those type of feminists are like those, you know, feminists doing that type of stuff. And then.
So she's not targeting a person. She's just reaching out to random technology companies and saying, hey, if you employ incels, you shouldn't because incels are bad.
I mean, that's my question is, what do you consider incels? How do you view incels? Do you view incels, guys who, what? I just want to know your thoughts on incels, like guys who are incels. How do you
view these? That is a fascinating question. Okay, so that's what I'd like to talk to you about a little bit more. I'm very open to you asking me more questions if you like, but I have a couple of questions that I'd love to go over with you just to help me with my understanding. First, I'll answer your question. So your question was, how do I view incels? Like, what do I think of incels? I've spent the last couple of days on the forums. They're rough to read through. There's some bad stuff on there. I mean, you spend time on there, so you know that, right? You know, there's things on there that from an outside perspective, or, you know, even internally, aren't necessarily, you know, the nicest or healthiest words, behaviors, or pictures. Could we at least agree
that's true. I mean, that's true. I'll let you finish. But
I'm not making any inferences from there. I just wanted to get us to give you my perspective of, you know, where I'm going into this from. Yeah, thank you. I saw a couple of different types of people posting there. Most predominantly, I saw people sort of reaching out, is what it seemed like. Sorry. My little guy's awake. My little guy's awake. Give me one second.
No problem.
No rush.
So while we wait on Shannon to come back, Catfish Man, what is your perception of what an incel is? Like, if you had to describe yourself, what all entails being an incel to you personally?
Who's struggling based off looks, struggling based off hypergamy, female standards, guys, like for me, example, you know, guys who are average looking, you know, versus good looking guys, I'm going to get to that point and I'll show you the difference. Okay. So guys, I've been through that, right? I've been through that 14 years of trying. literally trying, putting myself out there, doing PUA stuff. And there's a huge, huge difference. I mean, a lot of people don't understand. He's a huge difference between a guy who literally tries versus a guy that's actually good looking, that's a Chad, who can get all the girls and doesn't have to struggle. I mean, like, for example, let's say a person hasn't been in the relationship for a period of long time. He's considered an incel, like me. I mean, I can't get in a relationship because females aren't willing to settle down for they're looking for Chads. They weren't, you know, average females. I'm not talking about hot females. Hot females, I don't know. I never gotten with a hot female. I've always gotten with, you know, girls that are average. So the whole thing is so skewed. Like, average men, like a 6 out of 10 going for a 3 out of 10. And it's just so skewed how females so entitled to want to date these type of guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Shannon, just to catch you up, I just asked him what it meant for him to be an incel to him personally. And he was saying that it's somebody that struggles, deals with, what was it, hypergamy, and what was the other one?
Hypergamy Capish and man? Female standards.
Yeah, female standards. So you can take
what's
it from
hypergamy?
It's a red pill community. A female who's willing to date up, let's say a female is a 3 out of 10 who wants a 7 out of 10, you know, doesn't want to settle for her looks match. You know, that's hypergamy, you know, willing to date up on the chain of, you know, men, basically.
Okay, but and you don't think that men pursue women who may be more attractive than them?
No. Why? I mean, do you think as a 5 out of 10 man, do you think I deserve someone hot? I'm just honest. I'm asking you because always dated girls.
Deserve is an interesting word.
I mean, that's my ex-girlfriend was my third ex-girlfriend mm-hmm. was an overweight 200-pound girl. You know, she wasn't hot. I liked who she was, and she liked who I was. That was back in 2010. I mean, females now with a Tinder, you know, they're girls that are, you know, fraud their pictures, who are 3 out of 10s, they think, oh, I mean, I don't want to date a man at all. I mean, so delusional. You know, it's okay. Like a man.
All of this is becoming confusing to me because I'm
someone
not...
like you. You look like a 7 out of 10. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can do better. But I think I think you'd do better. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying is. I'm just saying she's a 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10. But, you know, I'm not.
I'm curious. Is she at least a solid 7? I mean, is there like wriggle room there?
You said an 8.
I don't know. I'm not going to say, oh,
she's going down. She started with an 8.
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying the way she is like, me personally, I wouldn't go for her because I'm not going to go out of my league. I mean, I don't see no point. I mean, girls like her she can have any guy she wants. So, I mean, I'm not going to try to force myself to go for someone like that if I can get someone that I can get along with. You know what I mean?
Okay, you and I might be able to get along. You don't know. You don't know me that well.
No, I don't know you. Sorry. I don't care how beautiful you are. I don't trust you. Well, I don't trust you. I'm sorry. I just can't trust you.
For the record, Shannon, you're an 11 out of 10, Shannon, just for the record. You're an 11 out of 10.
There is no scale for Shannon. Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay. Don't be a beta.
We can all stop deciding where I fall on the scale of 1 to 10.
We're so objective, right? We're just analyzing, you know, well, where would we put her?
He just told me not to be beta. I'm gay, so by default, I am I'm X'd out of this entire conversation. So I'm on a neutral platform.
True. I've got questions about looks. There's a lot that unpack it. Can I ask you a couple questions before we go?
Guys that can't do stuff, do you think, oh, they sit at home at mom's or – that's what the question I'm asking you. Do you
Catfish Man.
No, I don't think that.
Hold on 1 second.
I don't think
that. Let Shannon see, Catfish Man, let me just tell you this real quick. Take a step back and take a deep breath. Like we got plenty of time, And we're going to get to all of the points. But what you're doing, and it's your first time. I understand that it happens a lot, but you're throwing out so many different topics that it's hard to keep grasp on where the conversation's going. So let's hit one point at a time and go kind of slowly. We'll make sure that we get all of your points. And then we'll let Shannon ask her question, and then we'll go point by point so that we don't confuse everybody. Okay.
Okay.
I got all night. First, I wanted to apologize that I had to run away for a second. My little guy got up, so I had to attend to him for a second, make sure he was okay. So my first question, I guess, is about the whole looks match environment. I saw that there quite a bit, and I'm having difficulty contending with that because it seems to imply that only women, a couple of things. One, that only women pursue people who, I guess, would be classically or considered aesthetically better looking than them based on, you know, a subjective way of looking at aesthetics. The second thing that it seems to assume is it also assumes that that women are able to choose partners with impunity, whereas men don't have that ability. And those things are hard for me to contend with at face value. And then parlaying from that, just to fit this in before we go off, even if those two things were to be assumed to be true, the way that it's dealt with and discussed in the forums seems like it might be problematic. So in the forum, there was a forum there that I think it was called Cope or Rope. And it was all people talking about looks matches and essentially posting pictures of women or videos of women on Tinder or of catfish women on Tinder and showing a comparison between the amount of men who I've never been on Tinder. So swipe left, I think. Swipe left is what it said a lot. Yeah. So I'm assuming swipe left means yes. So it was showing that women who had been assessed by the men in the forum as being of, you know, a 3 or 4 is usually 3 or 4 up against a man who would have been assessed as a 3 or 4 by the same group of people who had less or no matches. And then sort of self-degrading dialogues about and arguments about whether or not this was something that was worth contending with, or whether it was stupid to even attempt to contend with it. And these are the things that concern me. These are, I'm not here to argue with you today about whether or not it's a good or a bad thing to be involuntary celibate, because it's my understanding that it's not you don't have a choice in this matter. What's concerning to me is the way that you all seem to deal with each other and then spill out with your dealings with anonymous dealings, particularly with other people and women on social media, and how that might be kind of feeding into more of a negative perception and sort of a downward spiral and more innate and internal disdain for yourself.
Okay. All right. First off, yes, it's a forum, a place for venting. All right. Okay. I mean, hey, it's negative. I mean, if people have to vent, that's where they go. It's their safe space.
Suicidal talk is venting?
Well, yeah, it's venting. Like, okay, so how do you want people to shoot up places, or do you want? I mean, that's the only
way. Are those the alternatives?
Huh?
So you feel that those are the alternatives? So. That's something that's important to unpack.
I mean, guys like me, I personally, I do other things. I don't care. I'm blackpilled. So I already submersed myself into, you know, understanding females and what they want. So I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I have other things I either do. So, I mean, it's guys, there's other guys out there who are frustrated. You know, I mean, I can't control it. That's them. But for me, I find the website, you know, I say satirical things, you know, just to, you know, play it off. I mean, to me, when I make posts, I make posts, you know, just joking. But it's my safe space. I mean, because of that, I'm able to be liberated to understand females. I can't control what females like, right? I can't control what you like, can I?
No.
Okay, then.
No.
So, okay, hold on. So, no, as a black pill mentality, and after doing all these catfish experiments and see what females like, and after all I've done, like self-improvement, and for 14 years of doing what I did, you know, I came to a realization in a monk mode and be like, okay, I'm just going to say, fuck it. Fuck women. You know, I'm just going to do myself, be myself. You know, I mean, right? Isn't that, you know, I mean, why should men have to praise women? I mean, I don't understand this. Why should men have to praise women? What?
I'm not sure how that leads from the question that I asked. I wasn't looking for praise.
I can't control what's on the forum, Shannon. Like, those guys out there do what they do. I do what I do.
I'm not asking to. I was asking what your perception of it is, and you gave me an answer to that. Your answer to that was that it's a catharsis space, and that people are using that type of language and some sort of suicidal ideology and violent talk towards one another and violent ideation towards women as a way of venting their frustrations in a safe space. So don't engage in more negative behaviors
in
the world.
Yes, but the thing is, do you want men to do it publicly? Do you want men, okay, you fucking bitch? Or it's a place where men have to congregate their frustrations on dating. It's just not just that. You're just cherry picking, but there's other things also.
No, that was just the first example.
Yeah, okay, no, so there's other things there. We there's other things in the off topic we can discuss. There's, you know, it's a black
pill. Sure.
It's brutal truth. Also, I mean, we have the off topic where we can discuss things that we like or things that we can cope with. I mean, for example, right. I play chess. You know, I keep my mind occupied. I play chess. I travel. You know, do you understand? I mean, it's something.
Of course I understand. Of course I understand. I wasn't suggesting that that's the only thing that's there. So I'd like to make that clear for you and everybody else. Well, the reason that I brought that up first is two-tiered. One tier was because that's what struck me as the most concerning. So I wanted to address it with you to see what your thoughts are about it. And two, and I think this is important for both of us to talk about further, if you're comfortable with it, is that because it's so impactful and on people when they're exposed to it, and because it's what most readily spills out into the world where people don't see that there as an off-topic form there where people support each other. That they don't see that as well because it's not as interesting to them, right? It's not as impactful. That this is the stuff that they see, and this is the stuff that spills over, and this is what I think gives in seldom.
Okay, so question: what do you think about black pill? I already gave you my question. I mean, I can't control that. I already just told you I can't control it. They do them. I do me. So to me, it's my safe space.
Wanted to know what you thought about it.
Well, I just told you. I mean, I can't control it. I can't control it. It's whatever it is. It's a side.
I'm not asking you to.
I mean, there's people take a breather,
catfish man.
Huh?
It's not an attack.
Okay. How about you
can ask me a question if you'd like to go off this topic or talk about the black pill, because I don't want to get you. Okay. I don't want to get you in a space where we can have a good conversation.
Okay, so the black pill. Okay, then we're going to lead into the black pill. All right, so
sure. The
black pill. Okay, so do you see it as a nihilistic type of thing, or how do you view it? I mean, there's sorts of black pills. I mean, there's black pills on teen girls. There's a black pill on dating, relationships, marriage. I mean, it could be negative. But at the same time, it's the bitter truth. It's the truth on what we have to come to society. So I just need to know your take on the black pill exactly.
I don't think all of it was necessarily the bitter truth. Okay. I think some of it was maybe cherry picking some research that supported the perception that the perceptions that were already had, or not even necessarily research. A lot of it was just examples and videos from what I saw, but I've only had a couple of days. So, I mean, I haven't delved deep. I'm by no means an expert. This is just the things that I saw over the past couple of days. So, but it seemed from what I saw, it was examples that kind of reinforced a negative perception of women quite a bit. And there was some kind of off-putting stuff in there about, there was one post in there that was about two teenagers that were making out on Snapchat, and it was talking about, and they were like 13, talking about how 13-year-olds get laid more than we do.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think I ran out of words there for a second. I need a minute. So yeah, go ahead.
I mean, females are losing their virginity. It's the truth. It's fact. Females are losing their virginities. I mean, at 14, 13, you know, possibly 12. I mean, you know, there's statistics on this where, I mean, statistics saying that females lose their virginities younger. So, I mean, I mean, we're just exposing the truth on how, you know, teen girls are, basically.
So what does that have to do with you guys not having sexual relations right now as adults? Why is it relevant?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, why is that concerning to you, how we post about teen girls? I mean,
because they're, I mean, because there's people having just seems so really
certain things, how other things,
sexually explicit talks like about teenagers that are 13 years old.
Well, I mean, that's that it is. I mean, there's some girls that lose their virginity at 13 and do degenerate stuff. I mean, I can show you Instagram of girls, you know, dressing, I don't know, provocatively. I mean, that's what our society is coming down to, Shannon. Like,
what?
Like, for example.
So you think that posting that in a public forum and then having sexually explicit anonymous dialogue about it is a remedy to that?
That's illegal to post. I mean, it's not child pornography.
What is child pornography then?
We're just showing the brutal truth on, you know, girls that are underage. I mean, I've done my own research. I mean, me personally, I'm not a pedophile. Like, I already understand how females are at that age. Girls, you know, I've done my own research on this where girls at that age, I wouldn't personally go for these types of girls, Shannon, because one, these girls are very immature.
Well, because they're children.
They can't have a relationship. You know, like if I was to choose an underage girl versus you, I would choose you over these types of girls because these types of girls don't know what they want. They can't rationalize decisions.
The answer is because they're children. They'll only stop it because they're children.
Yeah, that I mean, some of the stuff is LARP. There's people who posts stuff as LARPing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's people.
What is LARPing? Subreddit.
LARPing is
live action role play, which is more disturbing.
What?
Okay, let's move off of that. So another post that I saw, several of them, as a matter of fact, were posts about the strawberry, which, do you know what the strawberry is? Okay, so these are posts that are used female sanitary products, pictures after pictures with discussions on why would anybody want to put their D in that.
I mean, it's girls, they're periods, period bloods. I mean,
they're
just discussing female
periods.
I mean, is that an issue about men discussing female periods? I don't understand.
People asked if they would save them and mail them to each other. That's an issue. Where did you get them?
Oh, okay. Then that's the case. And why do females, you know, make money off of beta men selling their dirty underwear? I mean, females can make money off this stuff.
Did somebody? Somebody sold their used sanitary products?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's men desperate enough to buy this stuff. I mean, there's articles on this, females selling their dirty underwear. Or selling their breast milk so men can have fetishes. I don't know.
Okay. So you can see why this was a difficult place for me to peruse with an open mind.
Of course, it's something It's a, I mean, that it's a male.
Because I'm I mean, we're human. Discuss stuff.
Because I'm human, and there was a lot of violent discussion there, and it seems to be being justified by virtue of saying society has been unfair to us. It's outside of our control. Therefore, if we do not behave in this fashion anonymously and private amongst ourselves, then we will do something worse in public. So you better just let it happen and don't complain.
Well, I mean, like I told you, I can't control it. I can't control whoever posts. I'm not a violent guy. There's some guys who aren't violent, guys who are. I mean, I'm not a violent person. Sure. So I'm not going to go out and kill females, Shannon. I'm not going to
do that. But you asked about what my perception was.
Okay, yeah. So all right, then.
My perception based on the forum that I went to was that that's an unhealthy environment. But that there were people there before I had to leave to go put my son back to bed. There were a lot of people there who were making, you know, attempts at trying to just, you know, say they seemed sad and want, and they wanted people to commiserate with. And there was a lot of people that were like that. And those people are called copes and then handed ropes. So they're told that that's just a cope. You're in denial. And then they're handed ropes, and a rope essentially means kill yourself, unless I'm misunderstanding the cope or rope dichotomy that I saw repeating itself over and over in the forum.
Okay. All right. Are you saying if it affects certain males? I don't understand. Are you saying this
telling somebody who's depressed to kill themselves is a bad idea?
Are you? No, I'm asking you. What are you trying to get?
Trying to understand what the point of it all is, and it's difficult for me. I understand the pain, and I understand the feelings that it's not fair, and I understand that not being able to feel like you control it and wanting to have that human contact. What I don't understand, try though I might, is how turning it into this is beneficial to anybody and what it accomplishes.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm confused. I mean, me personally, I use a site. I told you. I mean, I use a site for my own personal use. I'm not going to act upon it. You know, there's some things I write. I write just for fun of it. But I mean, I don't know. I'm going to say, I don't know. I mean, it's my own safe space. I mean, I'm not depressed. You know, I go out. So, I mean, if some people find it a safe space, Shannon. I mean, what do you want incels to do? Even though they're ugly, do you want them to go out and get rejected? I mean, if you're ugly, you're ugly. There's nothing you can do I used to be a PUA, right? And I got rejected. I've been on dates and I got rejected. So initially I kind of gave up because I already know how females are when it comes to guys with looks. So what do you want incels to do, Shannon? What do you want them to do if they're ugly guys?
What do I want them to do? I want them to find healthy strategies to support each other without violent ideation that may serve to further deepen depressive, anxiolytic, and dysthymic states.
Okay. All right.
Is that something that I shouldn't want for them? Is it better for me to want them to tell each other to commit suicide, exchange pictures of tampons, and complain about how 13-year-old girls are getting laid? Is that what I should want for them instead of what I do?
Rephrase the question. May simplify it a little.
What I want is for them to have a supportive environment where they can commiserate with each other and support each other and find camaraderie and friendship. Is me wanting that for them worse? Should I want that for them? Or should I want them to trade pictures of tampons, tell each other to commit suicide and have sexual conversations about pictures of 13-year-old girls. Which of those two situations would me as would make me a better person? Which one of those should I want for you?
I don't know the first one, but like I said, I can't control Shannon. There's nothing I can do. I mean, you're just cherry picking certain content. There's other posts people post. Like, for example,
I agree that there were other posts that were very supportive, but that these are the ones that are concerning. And these are the ones that are in the public perception for that reason, because they are terribly troubling and concerning and for legitimate reasons.
Okay. So how is it troubling? In what way is it troubling? I don't understand.
I'm not sure how explicitly I can explain what's troubling about telling people who have already been in self-depressed, depressive states that they should commit suicide. I don't understand. I find it difficult to be more explicit than that about why that's why that's troubling. I don't know that I should have to explain why posting sexually explicit pictures of underage children is troubling. I guess the exchanging pictures of tampons is less troubling. I could go into other things that I saw there, but I feel like those are ample enough examples of the things that I found that are troubling. And I will emphasize again, there were a lot of people there that were looking for help, and there were people there that were supportive as well.
Yes.
But there absolutely are. And I also want to very, very, very importantly stress this, that people who are involuntarily celibate shouldn't be vilified simply because they're in a state that's out of their control and they're looking for support. I just wish that there was a better avenue for cathartic behavior and support, or that one wouldn't be chosen. Perhaps that's out of the control, but I wish it wasn't. It is, like you said, you don't control the forms, nor do I. There's nothing perhaps either of us can do about it. But I feel as though, since we're having this conversation, it behooved me to mention that these are things that are concerning and were, very prevalent. Very prevalent.
Okay. Inarguably so. I actually question about the black pill. I mean, you're on this about how these men are sexualized.
Oh, that's where I saw the 13-year-old girl picture. Sorry. And
All right. So. I totally understand. These are the things that's concerning. But I asked you about the black pill. I asked you, what do you think about the black pill? And I'll give you my perception on how it benefited me as a person.
Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Okay. So the black pill. All right. So I'm asking you, what do you see? Do you see it beneficial? How do you view the black pill? Do you just view it about misogynistic men? I mean, I just want to know, what do you think about black pill? Do you think it's bad?
Can you give me a brief explanation of what it is to you before I answer that question?
That I can make sure that I'm speaking to the appropriate context. Black pill to me is understanding female nature, understanding the truth of females, understanding how they react towards guys. You know, it's like little bit of a female anatomy and that, whatever, that female nature. It's a female nature aspect.
Psychology.
Yes. So basically, to me, it benefited me.
I'm a big proponent of understanding psychology.
I'm not going to take females seriously. Why should I? I mean, they're going for these types of girls. They rejected me, so there's nothing I can do about it. You know, I liberated my I became a sexual because of this. Like, why should I date a female if she's going to reject me either way? You know, I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. There's females, like I said, there's hypergamy, female standards, going for male models. Even if you do approach females, they're going to reject you. So that's my black pill. I mean, I'm not depressed. I mean, I'm a little bit depressed. But after realizing the truth about females, hey, I mean, fuck it. More to them. They can date all the guys they want. But to me, I'm coping. I'm playing chess. I'm traveling. I took up more copes, Shannon. I'm more happier than ever. So
let me interject real quickly, just for a second. People are asking in the live chat what the black pill is, and I'm just going to read this from online just to give kind of a broad general sense of what it is. Taking the black pill essentially means learning the true nature of reality is a way that is disempowering. The deck is stacked against you and can never be beaten. It's a conspiracy, but can never be overthrown. In a way, it harks back to the old existential horror stories written by authors like Lovecraft. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, yeah, that's accurate. I mean, there's guys, theoreticians that, you know, talk about black pill things. I mean, I should have sent you that link, but I mean that screenshot. But you know, theoreticians, people who are kind of famous, you know, talk about, you know, female nature and stuff like that. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So, as initially stated, you said being blackpilled is understanding female nature, female psychology, and I'm for that. But okay. That doesn't sound like it's. So you say, let me unpack. You say that being blackpilled was beneficial to you because essentially you decided that you were going to kind of become asexual and give up approaching women and kind of make the choice that it's something you don't want anymore and instead focus on, you know, copes, you know, things that distract you or fulfill you outside of a sexual relationship. And thus the black pill helped to liberate you because now you are not as depressed because you found other things to fulfill you. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now I understand that, and I think that's great, you know, playing chess and traveling. If you feel as though, you know, there's an aspect of your life that you have no control over that can't be fulfilled, finding other venues for fulfillment is a healthy behavior. No, I can't say that I necessarily agree with the road that got you there. I'm happy that you got there. I don't want to, downplay that. I'm happy that you aren't depressed. I'm happy yeah. that you are finding fulfilling things. I'm legitimately happy about that. But I think that the logic that got you there may be flawed, even though the destination might have been the right place for you.
Okay, so question, how is it flawed? And what I'm confused, why is it flawed? Like is a female nature a secret? You don't want men to know how females are? I don't understand.
I'm quite open about how I am. I can't speak for all females, but
no, I'm not asking.
Everybody
about
knows
you.
How I
don't
are.
Care about you. I know. I'm just saying. I'm not interested in you. Like, I'm just saying, generally females. Okay. Like, I'm not trying to get with you. I don't care about right. you. I'm here to have a discussion. Okay. But why is it flawed?
Okay,
that's the question.
Interesting. Okay, because it's based on the premise that women are only interested in aesthetic appearance when it comes to partnership.
Okay.
And it's incorrect. Right.
Okay, go ahead.
I believe that to be incorrect. I just believe it to be incorrect.
Okay, so
I think that based on, if you looked, I looked at some of the research that you sent earlier, actually.
I mean, I've sent links.
I mean, yeah, your speed dating research.
I mean, if that's the case, then why is there females on, you know, on Tinder? I mean, online dating, I've done online dating. I mean, hypergamy has changed based off Tinder, based off technology, how these men are being so thirsty towards females. Okay, so me personally, I've been rejected over 100 times in my life. You know, I mean, yeah, I've been with a lot of females. But the thing is when I go on Tinder or these online dating as an average man, like I told you, as an average looking man, is going to be a struggle. You know, I won't be able to get the sex, but I would have to jump through so many hoops just to get a date or possibly sex. And even then, approaching doesn't work. I mean, we both can agree approached a PUA is crap, right? We both can agree, right?
Oh, pickup artists are garbage. Yeah. Yes. We can agree yes. on that. Okay, so, it's not an effective strategy if you it's more
yes.
a relationship.
I mean, we can discuss PUA and why I think it's a garbage too. So I already tried it. So right. with that being said, I mean, how are we supposed to conversate these for these women if they're going on these Tinder apps swiping on good-looking guys and not giving average-looking guys a chance.
Well, that's not the only avenue where you can meet women. So,
okay,
I think I hear what you're saying a little bit better. So, I think I might be coalescing a little bit more with what the primary issue might be. Now that I'm thinking of your research article, it seems as though now that we're in a technical world where everybody is having like a quick, they're discerning very, very quickly whether or not they want to be somebody's match on Tinder, since that seems to be the focus here, because it's just based solely on faces. So when you're basing a decision solely on a quick impression, aesthetics are going to be a primary determination in that initial choice, because that's all you really have to go on. If you're just looking at a face, then aesthetics are going to be the determining factor, because that's the only factor you have by which to make a determination. So sure. Yeah, absolutely. In that scenario, I can see why it would be more discerning that why women maybe, and probably men too. Oh, I wonder if the ratio is different. So do you think, is the ratio of men and women the same on Tinder? Are there just as many women on Tinder as there are men, or is there a skew in the ratio where there's significantly more men than women? I don't know the answer to that question.
It's the same. There's, you know, it's 50 million users each month. I mean, Tinder's
and it's 50-50 men and women.
Other, like I said, there's other dating apps, you know, like Plenty of Fish, OkCupid, Bumble. I mean, like you said, yeah.
And they're all based on aesthetic.
What was that?
And they're all based on aesthetic. So you're making aesthetic determinations in order to find your potential matches. Because, I mean, let's be honest, people aren't going to read through the profile and be like, that one sounds super duper based on those words that I read. They're going to make aesthetic determinations first, because that's really the only discerning information that they have to use.
I mean, majority, I'm not saying all females, but majority of females, 18 to 35, I mean, that's what they're going to choose based off a guy's looks. And then a man, men are willing to date down. I told you, I'm not a shallow person. I'm not a shallow person.
Let me break in real quick.
I can connect with somebody based off their looks, then I'm going to go for that person.
Okay, what was
here's the statistics. It has close to 50 million people. The average user spends 90 minutes a day reviewing their matches. The male users apparently swipe right to 46% of potential matches, while women only swipe right 14%. So it looks like the men are the ones that are swiping
being more
right
discerning.
Right. 46 to 14% is the stat.
Interesting.
Okay. All right, I want to add this. Okay, Kyle. Yes, I mean, I've set up Tinder profiles as an ugly, deformed, you know, as a special retard female and a deformed female, and it's a staggering, man. It's a staggering. These men are willing to sleep with these types of females that are not even attractive. I mean, I've literally done that myself, and I got over 46 matches based off men offering sex, offering a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, men, like I just told you, men willing to date any. I mean, they have no self-respect. They're so beta and thirsty.
So men are less discerning and will proposition or attempt to have sex with women more than women will proposition and attempt to have sex with men.
Yes.
Okay. So that gives women a larger available pool based on what you're saying are the predetermined biological characteristics and dispositions of men. So why are we black-pilled towards women? That just gives us a larger available pool because of the way that you guys behave.
That's true. Like Kyle said, that means more women are swiping guys that are not attractive or not average looking. Like I just told you. My Tinder experiments, I've used male models, guys that don't even exist in the real world, and these women are willing to be with pedophile men. Men are misogynistic. Men are willing to, I mean, females are willing to suck on a banana for a guy that doesn't even exist.
Right. Okay. Well, probably because they think he exists.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, is that's where the entitlement is. Okay. So, for example, if a
but
man...
you wouldn't do the same thing if a woman. So if you were that woman, may be just as desperate for physical attention and you know affection as anybody else who's on that profile of either gender. So when you trick somebody into thinking that they have your attention, and then they respond to that. What does that prove, aside from the fact that you're capable of tricking somebody into thinking somebody who you perceive as looking better than them wants to give them attention?
Catfish man, you gotta let her. You gotta let Shannon finish her thought out, because when you talk over each other, everybody can't. Nobody can hear on the outside feed.
Okay, I thought she finished, but go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. So the crux of what I was saying was when you do these catfishing experiments to prove that I guess women are willing to be with men who are more attractive, and that it's more difficult for men to find somebody who is as attractive as them on these sites. I don't understand what that's proving, other than that you can find somebody who wants attention and trick them into thinking that you're giving them attention.
Okay. Are you done?
I am, yes.
Okay. All right. So, all right, let's go back to what you're saying about how these incels are, you know, being disgusting creeps, you know, posting this stuff. Okay. So, all right. So let's say a man on his profile who's a convicted child molester, or, I mean, I've literally put that on my profile about being a pedophile, dating underage girls who have, you know, HIV, or who are misogynistic like incels, or, you know, I mean, being woman beaters, or, you know, other that stuff. I mean, the difference is...
And someone was desperate and pathetic enough to accept that?
These women are, they don't care. So, I mean, yes, I'm going to admit, men are desperate. Like I just told you, men are desperate.
Source of women.
That's the difference. I mean, okay, let's say a man who is career-driven, who is putting himself out there, who has a nice outgoing personality, who is charismatic. Mm-hmm. You know, he tries to apply those, like you said, PUA techniques, tries to woo the women. I mean, she's going to, you know, no matter how hard he tries, she's going to reject him based off his looks. So that's the difference. That proves a lot.
If he's using PUA techniques, then yeah, she's going to reject him based off of him presenting himself as a dick.
But do you know what I'm... No. I'm just saying, I'm giving an example. We can go into the PUA stuff. But you know what
I thought you said using PUA techniques.
Putting themselves out there, being outgoing. That proves a lot. I mean, a guy that's doing that average looking, you know, putting himself out there who has money or whatever, I mean, she's going to ignore the guy and go for this other guy. I mean, that's the difference right there. The elephant's in the room.
I don't necessarily believe that that's true, though, based on just Tinder experiments. I find it very, very difficult to say, oh, okay, you proved that based on Tinder experiments.
Okay, I have articles on this based off technology and dating. I have literally, there's articles. I've done my own research.
I do believe that first impressions, and if you're making you know, a split second decision or a first glance decision, then aesthetic is going to factor in a lot, because like I said before, it's one of your only discerning attributes to choose from. But I think if you get to know somebody, aesthetic becomes, it'll still be important. You still need to feel an attraction to somebody, but it'll become less important if there's a personality match.
Okay. That's the case. A male model. Are you serious? The guy's a male model. Like, is that the only standards? I don't understand. I mean, yes, get to know the person. I totally understand. But when it comes to a male model, that's not even real. She's choosing someone that's an 8 out of 10 versus a guy that's a 6 out of 10 who has a nice personality, who's funny, who's outgoing.
Based on Tinder?
Blah, blah, blah. That's a problem.
Is this based on Tinder?
How are men going to compete in that type of dating situation if these females have high standards?
How So you think men have lower standards than women?
No, men do have lower standards. I mean, yes, if there's a hot girl, a guy is going to be like, oh my God, she's so hot.
Yeah. Answer Shannon's question that she just asked you, though, Catfish Man. She just asked you, are people supposed to find out how someone's personality is through Tinder?
No. I mean, no, but that majority is people are using those, you know, like dating apps like Plentyfish and Tinder, you know, like that type of stuff. Men who, you know, I mean, technology changing, right? I mean,
yeah, but you get what she's saying, though, right? Like, those are visual based apps. So you're looking at someone. You don't know anyone's personality. You can't get that through the app. So you're solely basing it on looks. Like that's the point of the app.
What else do you have to go by?
I mean, I'm not talking about Tinder. Exactly. I'm talking about other apps like Plentyfish online. Okay, I sent you an article.
They're all aesthetic.
About online dating has been around since Match.com in 1995, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've sent you an article on this where, you know, I mean, before Tinder, I mean, where guys were able to, you know, get those types of options where, you know, write a profile. I've done that. Write a profile, you know, send the best pictures, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then based off that, but even then, but now it's, you know, based on female standards, they're willing to get the guys based off, you know, their looks. I mean, more attractive guys versus a guy that's average looking myself. I mean, that's kind of hard. I mean, I mean, I've done the whole nine. I've done, you know, self-improvement. I worked on myself. I mean, that's why I'm incel, because of my looks. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I mean, I'm incel due to my looks. I'm going to be honest. I'm not an attractive looking guy. But as a guy that's an incel, how am I supposed to compete if a 5 out of 10 women isn't willing to give me a chance? Even if I was to approach her and say, hey, how's it going? What's your number? She's going to reject me no matter what.
Most women would reject most men that just walked out there and offered and asked for their number. Okay. Yeah. No, I understand that. So there are other avenues aside from Tinder. And I agree with some of your point on Tinder, although it seemed like Kyle was saying that men were more discerning than women on Tinder, unless I was misunderstanding. But it seemed like it was a pretty big ratio that women were like, yes, 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 yes. And men were like, nope, 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 yes. According to what I heard Kyle read off. Or is it backwards?
The women were not swiping right as much. The men were swiping at 42% versus the women's 14%.
Yes. Is right yes? Mm-hmm. Right means yes, I like this person?
Yes. Right is yes. Yes.
Okay, yeah, I had women were more. I don't know.
Swiping right.
Okay.
What did we do before technology, before we had these dating apps? Like, I've been on Planning for It Fish, right? I actually met two.
I've never been on a dating website. Maybe I'm bad for the bit.
but one of them I still talk to. We went on numerous dates. We dated for a while. Just wasn't that compatible after a long term. But she was very sweet. We still talk to this day. We had a great first date, second date, third date. It just, you know, after a while. But what do you do before technology? You just went out and you meet people. You get introduced by your friends or something along those lines, right? Wasn't always
was there a time before just technology?
Yeah, I know. The iPhone has not always been around. I know this is difficult for Kyle. There's this pre-iPhone days. BI before iPhone.
It just seems like there's such a focus on Tinder and dating websites as the examples of where people are being too discerning. And perhaps that is the case. And it sounds like it is the case, but they're making more aesthetic judgments, like knee-jerk aesthetic judgments, probably because most people, like I said earlier, don't really read the profiles. They just look at the pictures and they just click the people that they find most aesthetically attractive and then hope something develops from there, after they kind of pick their, you know, their grouping of people that they feel are attractive to them at first glance. But there are, and that would be skewed towards attractive men and women, I would think, but it would appear that men are a little more zealous to just, you know, being less discerning and, you know, opening up their field more than women are, perhaps, which I don't know. I mean, if it was the inverse, I'm not sure that I would see anything wrong with that. And that kind of tracks with, you know, the psychology of sex that I know, that men would be more interested in being like, let's make a wide open playing field, and women would be more like, oh, let's rein it in. But there are other avenues, because that's a fair point that is that avenue may not be the best if people are making aesthetic judgments and you feel as though your aesthetic isn't up to that par. But well, there are other ways to form relationships with people, even online, you know, through forums and common interests and forming relationships that way.
Okay, that's true. Then that's where we get down to the PUA.
Oh, I met my guy.
Okay, I used to be a former PUA. I mean, it does work. I mean, I've never.
Does it?
I mean, based off my experiences, I know I have good, you know, conversational skills. I know what to say. I know how to. I don't come off creepy, right? I mean, PUA is PUA. Right. It's called real social dynamics. Basically, you know, okay, not just picking up women. You know, it's red pill philosophy. You know, improving yourself. You know, improving how you dress. I mean, I've done it for almost 14 years. So when a man, I mean, I never done night game. I've always done day game. So, I mean, that's the only way. If a man, you know, if a man who's not really, you know, social, doesn't like to go out nights, goes out in the day game and, you know, picks up a woman and says, you know, hey, how's it going? Have him, you know, not no lines. I've never done lines. I don't do that type. I try to do my cold approach and be like, hey, how's it going? Or act normal, you know, act near typical. I mean, yes, that's the alternative. I mean, let me ask you something. You know, if someone was to ask you something. Okay, so if a man was to come up to you and says, hey, I want to talk to women. How do I talk to women? You know, I'm going to ask you, Shannon. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if a man says, oh, I'm struggling with women. What do I do? How do I approach a woman? What do I do? I'm asking you that question. I mean, let's pretend, right? This is pretend. So what advice would you give a man who wants to approach women, or what it, like the best way to, you know, set up to talk to women, who's, you know, how would you teach that man to do that, go about?
I would suggest that the best way to form good relationships is to be an honest version of yourself. Okay. Otherwise, any relationship that you get into, that person is not in a relationship with you. They're in a relationship with the version of you that you're pretending to be in order to have an effect on them. And that's not a lasting or comfortable dynamic, and it would lead to an unhealthy relationship. I would suggest that if you wanted to form relationships with women, that based on my, this is completely anecdotal experience, every relationship I've ever been in, and every relationship most of the people I know have been in, has been based on meeting through common interests or mutual friends, as opposed to being a pickup artist or going to meet somebody on the street. I think that is hit and miss at the best of times, no matter how attractive you are, or at a bar or at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
If you're looking to just hone social skills through general conversation, I would suggest practicing by just having conversations without expectations, by making small talk, either in lines or in public spaces with people who are in proximity to you, with no expectation that you are going to even attempt to pick them up, just to see how those conversation dynamics play out, so that you can figure out what your individual strengths are within conversation dynamics, as opposed to putting the pressure on yourself that there should be an expectation of outcome in the conversation. Just have conversations for the sake of conversations, and that'll help kind of sharpen your skills and build your comfort level and allow you to know what your strengths might be. I would also suggest that you maybe avoid people that are discouraging you from engaging in positive dynamics and try to focus on things that are maybe of interest to you that may bring you into a social setting, because that may help you to initiate conversations of common interest, which are the easiest conversations to initiate as opposed to off the cuff conversations. That's just for a start. I could give you a lot. I studied communication theory and communication psychology. So those would be my first initial pieces of advice if being able to struggle through difficult social interactions is an issue. And something, if it's something that's an anxiolytic, then that adds a different level. And that would involve, you'd need different strategies. And for those strategies, I would suggest practicing first on online text spaces, so that you could see where you're going wrong, and also engage in that gives you the opportunity to engage in textual assessment to look at where things may have gone awry by comparing it against you don't always have somebody who's a conversation dynamic expert to look at things with you, but they can point out things that in the psychology of interaction that may have been an issue, a perceptual issue in that dialogue that may have either shut it down or derailed it.
Okay.
Via text.
You done?
Which makes it easy. Yeah, I'm done. Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Okay. I understand that, but you know where I'm going at. I mean, like for me, example, you know, I've done PUA since 2007. You know, I literally had to turn to that to, you know, they gave these types of advices like you're giving out. You know, I mean,
they give that type of advice? To women. So how would they?
But I know.
What type of advice? Can you give me an example of their type of advice so that I can track it onto seeing?
What you're saying it is what they're saying, you know, saying, mm-hmm. you know.
Have conversations without expectations.
Yeah, conversation, how to talk to people. Yes. I mean, they have these types of things where they, you know, they do a pre-warm up, you know, go talk to people, build their, you know, social anxiety, you know, PUA. I mean, if you take out the PUA and leave it as real social dynamics, right? I mean, let's scratch off mm-hmm. the PUA stuff instead of picking up women. Okay. I mean, this it's legit good advice to how to talk to somebody, how to conversate somebody. All right. My issue is with PUA, it doesn't even work. You know, it doesn't work. You know, I agree. It does not work. They're scamming these men thinking, oh, you know, get this girl's number. It's all about numbers game. Take a rejection. Yes, I it's garbage. It's so garbage. And they're scamming these types of men to believe this type of stuff, Shannon. So you're saying.
Can I give you a piece of advice that somebody used to go to bars and meet women, if you don't mind?
No, I met women at work. I meant.
No. Somebody's been in that scene. Yeah, let me. As somebody who's been in the scene, I have never once employed any pickup technique to meet a woman. It's always been organic. I used to go to a bar for 20 years. I had sat at a table one time with 8 exes sitting at the same table as me. Okay, it was all congenial. I never really had problems meeting women, but it was never with the expectation of going out and saying I'm going to pick up a chick tonight. Although, granted, I went out with expectations I'd like to meet one. But it was never going to be, oh, I'm going to take her home tonight kind of thing, right? You don't have that expectation. Now, if it happens, sure. Yeah, I mean, but 90% of the time, it's just women that I got to know over an extended period of time, very attractive women. But this pickup artist stuff, I don't see it. I don't know how it could ever work. It might work for some women, but I never would go out looking to be picking up a woman. It just wouldn't work for me. Maybe that's the approach that you're taking that's kind of needs to be changed. You're going out using these pickup artists techniques.
Well, you don't have to.
It may not work.
You don't have to, Steve, when you're paying for it.
No, I don't pay.
Oh, you always pay for it, man. You always pay for it.
No, he's saying Steve Jett is catfish. It's not directed at you.
Yeah, I don't have to pay for it. I just go to the local bridge off the freeway and then look for one, you know, $50, you're good to go, right?
No, I was just saying, I think Catfish thought that it was directed at him.
That's disgusting, man.
Oh, Steve. I just called you disgusting.
Yeah, no, I've never had a hooker. Sorry. Contrary to proper belief, I had to ask how much one would cost nowadays because I wouldn't even have a venture, I guess. Somebody was telling me, I would say, you know,
you're the nowadays at the end of that sentence, everybody?
Yeah. I don't know how much people pay pay for a BJ for $50 or get make $50 on the side by giving one? I don't know. It's like, damn, they make that much? Yeah. I'm in the wrong business.
Know a lot about it.
Yeah.
that's what I'm saying. It's a bunch of garbage.
$200 a night.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's a bunch of garbage. I don't like it. I mean, I've never paid for boot camps. I always learned online, you know, based off my experience and how to approach females, how to talk to females. You know, even after I'm blackpilled, I'm more blunt. Blackpilled helped me to be more outgoing. So I mean, I don't know. Black pill is beneficial to me. You know, it helped me to be more funny. I don't know, man. I mean, it helped me. I don't know. I just don't like pickup artists. I mean, they give good technique. I honestly can admit they give good techniques on how to talk to people. But you know, picking up a woman and you know doing these techniques and you know 3 second rule window. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Well, one of the techniques develop relationships organically.
Let me since I think we're hitting hard against the 90 minute mark. And by the way, I put this out in the live chat. We are going to have an after show, and I've got right now I've got 4 individuals that are from the incel or incel leaning camp. If there's any more that would like to join in the after show, if you will just tag me in the live chat and put your email address so that I can send you a link. But this has been fascinating. And in just a second, I'm gonna let you guys, you know, have, if you have any wrap up questions that you want to do, and say your last statements. But, I just wanted to say what I wrote down in listening to you talk, Catfish Man. You said something interesting that stuck out to me when you were talking about your ex. And you said that she was overweight, she wasn't attractive, but you liked her for who she was, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that all that matters? Like, if what are you looking for in terms of like satisfaction out of life in the relationship department? Are you just looking to conquest as much tail as you can and sleep with anybody? Or
well, I mean,
is it the relationship that actually
is like, it telling that shit, baby? But
this is important though because
at the end of the day, man, hold on, find love. I mean,
sure,
they're not gonna based on today's
right, but you but listen to, dating listen here's where you're getting it mixed up though. You're mistaking one for the other. The sex part and the gratification that you get out of that one night stand isn't going to take the place.